If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
There are three reasons, according to the Word of God, that Christians are habitually sick. Habitually. Number one, you're careless and neglectful with your temple. The second reason that Christians constantly become sick and can't seem to get victory, weak faith. They just don't believe God has sent His Son to bring you healing. Oh, you can believe you're saved, but you cannot believe you're healed. And the third reason is the most scary, because that means you are practicing sin. Usually it's secretly, quietly, without anybody knowing it. You see, they're going to know some now because God is pulling the cover off of stuff. Now, when God does it in this realm, He's trying to get your attention so you can repent. But in the next realm, there's no repentance. That's final. The judgment seat is the supreme court for the believer. And the great white throne is the supreme court for the unbeliever. There's no appeal. The Holy Spirit shows you things to come. God said in Amos, I sent you hunger, but it did no good. You would not come to me. I messed with your finances, but you didn't come to me. You know why? Because somebody stepped in and they continue to provide. And you think that it's me, and it's not me. So since I can't judge you, I'm going to judge the person that's supplying your need. And when they no longer can do it, then you're going to see me. You stand at that judgment seat, and all of your works are put on the altar, and the fire of God hits it. Throughout the scripture, there are constant references to fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, judged by fire. The firing pot is for silver. The furnace is for gold. The gold ore is pulled out of the mountain, taken out of the ground, and it is dumped into a furnace that heats to 6,500 degrees Fahrenheit. The gold melts and everything that is impure floats to the surface. You know what that tells me? That what I see you doing is not indicative of your heart. The fire shall try every man's work. When there's a fiery trial in your life and your attitude is contrary to the word of God, that's God showing you what's really in your heart. The nastiness, the abrasive behavior, the feeling that somebody can't do what you can do. That's pride. And it would not come out until you heard that somebody else was in line. Oh, saints of God. I'm here to warn you that at that judgment seat, everything you do will be tried. Why didn't you come to church? Well, now there's a movement going on. You don't need to go to church. You can just get with God. Oh, really? Then stop going to work. Isn't it amazing that we can stay on our job for 20, 30 years, but we leave churches with such great fluidity? Oh, well, praise the Lord, I've just outgrown it. Really? Oh, they just don't do what they did at the beginning. Pastor Lambert is so different now. He's not like he was at 30. You better thank God that I'm not that mean young preacher who sent everybody to hell for every infraction. You better thank God I'm not the same. I do. Because I came from an environment of preaching that you didn't preach until you sent everybody to hell. If you wore dreadlocks, you were going to hell. If you smoked, you were going to hell. And hell had become so full, we would say, you're going to bust hell wide open. Oh, we would get on you. We got on you for everything. We got on you for divorce. We got on you for remarriage. We got on you for having children, for not having. We got on you for everything. And God sat there and said, I can wait. I can wait. He'll be all right. I'm going to expose him to some Presbyterians. And I learned that God wasn't sitting around beating up people. That He was reaching out His hand and saying, come, let me deal with your neurosis. But that does not remove accountability. It does not remove responsibility. There is an upside. After He evaluates your works, the Bible declares that we receive the crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but to all of those who love his appearing. This is an amazing reward, the crown of righteousness, for it is only given to those who live like they're looking for Jesus. They love his appearance so much that they live like he can come any moment. And I want to be ready for him. There were times I remember my brother and I would be playing with little G.I. Joe men, little soldier men, and we'd have them all over the floor. And at a certain time, my mother would say, "Get those things up. Your father's coming home from work." And we would scramble to get all that stuff up, and Daddy would come home. You see, the Holy Spirit is saying, now get that stuff right. Get your attitude right. Jesus is soon to come. And for those of us who love his appearance, we're looking for it. We make sure we stay right. But we perverted and polluted the concept that salvation is not of works. No, it is not of works. But salvation is not of works. But you are to live unto good works. There is a life that accompanies Christianity that you and I cannot remove. We cannot just push it aside because of grace. Praise God. God's not going to hold this against me because it's in my gene pool. Well, now scientists and physicians have discovered that just because genes are in you, they don't have to be activated by behavior. That you do not have to compound what's going on in your genealogy and then turn it into your behavior. If that were true, then I submit to you that Abraham's posterity wouldn't have been as stupid as they were. Isaac was so stupid, he couldn't even find his own wife. Abraham had to get one of his servants and say, "Look, go get this boy a woman." Because he's hanging up under his mother so much. That's how you know what color they were. Isaac wouldn't leave his mama. He said, "Now go on down there and get him a wife." And so the man says, "Well, what land do I go into?" He said, "Look, just don't go back over into that land, because if you go over there and get him a wife, she's going to come over here and she's going to dominate him. Get him the right kind of woman." And when Isaac had his woman, he treated his woman the same way Abraham treated Sarah. He just did whatever she told him. Now, what man in his right mind would listen to his wife? You know that there's a cost. She said, "Go over and lay with Hagar and have a baby." And Abraham said, "Okay. You sure, baby?" She said, "Yeah, because I know you said God promised you a baby, and I just can't get it done. So you going over here, okay." Now you think that Abraham's common sense would have said, no. No, because she's just talking right now. But when she comes to herself, which is exactly what she did, she came to herself and went to him and said, "Get that woman out of my house. Get out of here. Get her out of here. Let her take that no good kid with her." And all of Abraham's children had that same attitude. First dysfunctional family. So that genealogy doesn't hold true. I can have my parents' genes, but I don't have to activate them. I don't have to provide the nutrient to the bitterness. I can walk in love. The crown of righteousness is given to those who look for the coming of the Lord. Are you living every day like you expect him to come? I drive down the Pennsylvania Turnpike often, and I know where the speed traps are. I know where there's going to be a state trooper sitting off to the side waiting. And by intuition, I begin to slow down, because I know. And I also know by investigation how far I have to travel before I can speed up. How far does the radar have to go? I know the range of the radar. I was traveling south on 95 and hit the state of Maryland. And I didn't know Maryland like I know Pennsylvania. That's why I don't go no more. Now I go around Merrill. And I'm driving the normal way, keeping up with the flow of traffic. I don't see any cars. I don't see anything that would give, you know, me an idea that there's a stadium on the road. And then all of a sudden, one jumps out. You! Pull over! Caught me by surprise. Said, I clocked you doing 5 miles an hour. You can put your own number in front of it. I said, okay, thank you. I was in South Carolina coming from Parris Island and taking back roads. And they pulled me over, put his hand on his gun. He said, what y'all doing down here, boy? I said, nothing. I talk like Andy and Mayberry. I said, nothing. We all just heading back up to the big house. They wrote me the ticket. I took the ticket. I said, I ain't paying no South Carolina ticket. That little town, they backwater. They don't even have a computer. About 90 days later, I got a letter. Told me that they had contacted Pennsylvania and suspended my license if I didn't pay that ticket. I went to the bank and got a bank check, took that thing to the post office, had it delivered next day. Thought I was getting away with something, but they called where I live. We think we're getting away. We think God has forgotten about it. We think that just because we've asked for forgiveness, there are no consequences.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The BDIFC 2017 convocation is almost here. Come worship with us at Bethel Deliverance International Church on Tuesday, September 12th through Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. On the final night, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., join us for a special youth and young adult service.
This holy convocation will feature afternoon workshops and an encouraging word from the Lord through the following preachers: Co-Pastor Susie Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church, Bishop David Evans of Bethany Baptist Church, Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church, and our very own pastor, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. To register for the afternoon workshops, visit the Holy Convocation table in the lobby or register online at BethelDeliverance.org.